if you miss us live, you can listen to us wherever you get your podcast.
Tony Litt, I'm the general manager of Fred Bean's Key and Landlord. I just wanted to take a minute to talk about Larry Feldman and Career Changers USA. Larry and I had been working together for about the last 12 years now, and anything I've ever needed as far as recruiting, training, Larry's been right there. Larry's got me salespeople, he's got me managers, he's got me technicians even through the toughest times in the industry, and he is just the kind of guy who's going to tell you exactly what's on his mind. He's going to tell you exactly what he thinks. But Larry also has the expertise to back it up. When he was in the dealership world, he was a top performer. And that's really important to my staff, especially as it pertains to training. A lot of people can come in and teach out of a textbook, but Larry has real-world experience dealing with customers, dealing with situations and dealerships that we go through on a daily basis and try to train on, but Larry's been through it, so he can really empathize with the people and tell you what's worked for him and maybe what way not to go. Larry is just always at a 10. I mean, his energy level is always up there, and I think people, they just love that and they feed off of it. He's not faking it. He is genuinely excited to come in and help you. He's excited to come in and help grow your business. And he's one of those people who just really enjoys seeing dealers succeed and have a lot of fun at the same time.
All right. Life is about connection. Having a support system to lean on. And roads to endless possibility. At every turn, guiding the way, we are building the connections that move you.
So what would your dealership feel like if your entire sales staff was literally on fire, your sales and service staff? They were nonstop all over social media, completely dominating your marketplace. They could do it in 30 days or less and then continue their education to do it for an entire 6 months or a year. You literally would completely take over the entire marketplace and no one would be able to compete with you. And that's what we can do for you. So when you're walking around your community, whether you're at local restaurants or you're going to the gym, if you don't want to be bothered, fine, you won't be bothered. But a lot of people will walk up to you and say, oh my God, I love your social media. Your staff is amazing. We love what you're doing in the community. We want to come buy a car from you. We want to get an oil change at your dealership. Your community is absolutely going to love you. And it doesn't matter what platform you're on. You could be on TikTok, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, all social media platforms. You will literally be all over the place. And not only will you have ads running, but your own staff is going to be promoting your brand and promoting themselves within the dealership and within the business. So it's like running an ad times 100-fold because your entire staff is participating in the process. I've traveled all over North America. I've trained Toyota. I've trained Nissan. I've been to driving sales. I've been to Women in Auto. I get hired as a speaker for conferences at universities all over the country. And I can help change the trajectory of your dealership right now.
This is Ian.
And this is Jeff here at NADA 2024. And this is really special. We're at this new startup company. They're just starting little. They're starting with their first $750 million seed capital. Well, just kidding. We're here with our very good friend and guardian angel, Troy Glenn from CDK. And for those of you who don't know, he's Canadian too. Hi, Troy.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Great to see you guys at this show every year. Yeah. But to be honest, this is one of my favorite things to do is to talk to people like you guys and get excited about the car business. And what a better place to do it than Las Vegas, right?
Oh, yeah. Though, by all means. The problem with Vegas, there's too many distractions.
I didn't notice.
Well, I went outside for 5 minutes to get some fresh air, and there was this eye looking at me. And I sat there for an hour, I was hypnotized.
Well, we have one of our really good friends that works for us. He's not a Vegas guy very much, but we told him that there were three of them, and one of them actually moves around. You just got to find it in the city, and you get a prize.
Oh, my God.
We've straightened them out since, but it's still fun.
I hope so.
So, question. I mean, obviously, we've been talking to some surprisingly technology companies.
Shocking.
At NAD. I don't know why that is. I thought we were still using paper and pencil, but there's been a lot of technology companies that we've been talking to during the show so far.
Sure.
I guess the big question is, we've heard a lot of things about EVs and data and integration, a bunch of different things. You know, what's the big news from CDK this year? And, you know, what are you hearing from people?
Well, you know, that's two questions that are really, really important. And I think the first one is data. And honestly, we've been lucky because as the largest, you know, footprint in the DMS world and being an automotive technology partner for so long, we have a lot of great data. And as such, that data, we're able to feed that back to our customers now through our systems. And you know, we hear a lot about AI, hear a lot about machine learning and automation and stuff, but we've been doing that for a long time. And right now, we're using our data in such a great way, our customers' data, really, to help feed back information back to them so they can make better decisions. That's really all it is. If you talk about AI, or you talk about automation, really the best AI is the one you don't really even know is there. It just helps make your life easier. And really, it's all about helping dealers make better decisions. That's it.
Okay, so we've obviously been talking also to OEMs this time. We had spent some time in the Uber Secure Ford meeting or yesterday.
So yep. Ian thought us worthy.
I was worthy. I had to go through a process. It was kind of interesting.
Very cool.
And they had a rapid hunt inside with like a QR code.
Okay, all right, fun.
But the thing that was really interesting from a dealer perspective, because we've also seen new entrants in the market, whether it be Fisker or VinFast or others, trying to get dealers during the show. But there's been a lot of questions from different people we've talked to, including dealers, around not only data, but, you know, how do I deal with these Jeff's favorite word, algorithms in 2024? And what does that mean? I mean, AI, what does that really mean to me? And what do I need to understand to make use of it?
You know, I think it's really AI, all it really means is using the data to come up with answers to questions that have a high likelihood of being predictably true. So honestly, when you're talking about that data, everything's collecting our data at all times.
Right.
And for example, if you're using data to help sell cars in a market better, or to determine propensity to buy a product, or a predictive service model, for example, if you know you've got a 2022 Porsche Macan and it's got 35,000 kilometers on it and you roll in, we've seen somewhere in the tune of 8 million ROs. So we know that if an MPI comes up and we see that this component on that Macan needs to be looked at, we're probably right. And so really it's just a matter of taking all of the data that's out there and making the most sense of it. Now, you know, you've got data in light bulbs, you've got data in sensors on light posts as you're driving down the street collecting vehicle data and driving data.
Right.
Now the data inside of the vehicles is doing driver education, and we're trying to get back the feedback to the OEMs on how cars are being used. and they're making better cars for it. So honestly, it's there's this really weird feeling sometimes when people think AI is so scary and big data and all this stuff is such a big scary thing, but our data is all out there. Why don't we just use it for good to make our lives all better? And that's really what it's about.
You say that too, because as we've looked at digital retail to pick a product offering, you know, a couple of years ago, it was like, well, you know, I'm making lots of money. We understand customers all of a sudden, even though we haven't before.
Yeah.
Customers want this, but do we really want to do that? And now we're seeing a resurgence of that, even in a more forward-thinking way, not because of the market changing, but because now finally change is necessary, whereas a couple of years ago, it's like, well, I think I got a good hand. So what are you hearing on digital retail?
Well, really, when you think about digital retail versus in-store retail, it's just retail.
Yeah.
And it's not about forcing dealers to sell cars online. It's about selling cars to people the way they want to buy cars. And if a guy wants to go buy a car online or a lady wants to come into a dealership and buy in-store, whatever the flavor is, we should be able to enable that.
Right.
And so we're seeing a lot of digital retail for a couple of reasons. For example, we've got dealerships in large metro areas like San Francisco, Vancouver, New York that don't have the ability to store all their inventory close by. So they'll do an online marketplace. They'll deliver the car to someone's house. The side benefit to that is it's incredibly good service and it's got a great retention and customers love it. So, you know,
I think you brought that up because I don't know if you remember about 8-9 months ago in Vancouver, there was a port strike. And there was, not a port strike, but there was a situation where Mitsubishi could not offload their cars in Vancouver.
Okay.
So they dropped them off. And those of you who really don't know, Vancouver Island's 40 miles off the coast of the mainland. And they dropped it off at the Nanaimo Harbor. And there was 7,000 Mitsubishi. So this little tiny dealer in this town in Nanaimo, British Columbia, population 132,000. Advertised 7,500 Mitsubishis in stock.
Wow.
Available now. So this is right before the store shortage. And I don't know, but what I heard, they went crazy. And you know, they were getting calls from everywhere for all the, how did you get them? Because they were stored right there.
Sure. Well, you know, and it's again, like the ability to service the customer in the best way the customer wants to be serviced. It's exactly what it's all about. I mean, I've purchased a vehicle from a dealership through an online where they delivered it to my home. I've purchased vehicles in a store. I've had great experiences with both. Why not just be able to meet everybody, you know? So digital retail, you know, we sort of got thrust into the middle of it with COVID and people couldn't go into stores, but it really did make our industry take an introspective look. What could we be doing better and how could we be expanding that storefront into a different realm in on the internet? And the dealerships and the groups and the OEMs that are doing the best job are really just like, you think about a Genesis model, you know, that you book it all online. They come to your house for the test drive. They deliver it to your home. They'll pick it up for service. There's a market for that. And I think that we're seeing a real interesting evolution of retail. And I think that the stores are not going away, but we're going to see a great hybrid of both.
So what are you seeing now that you've been in the digital retail heavily for a while? What are you seeing that trend as we move towards a higher adoption rate and a higher percentage of consumers maybe start that process online?
Yep.
What is that? What does that mean for the dealer in terms of profitability, in terms of lead closure rates, access to data, maybe improving their business? What does that mean for them?
You know, you think about what you mentioned there with data is, the data quality is so much better because we're actually tracking what customers' behaviors are, not relying on a salesperson to key it into a CRM, right? So we know it's real. The second thing that we're learning is when you have the customer's journey, we're realizing that customer's journey, and you know, we go back way back, and you think it used to be 1.6 stores before you would purchase, then it was 1.2, now it's 1.1 or something like that. People aren't going to multiple stores. They're making their decisions online and then they're choosing the experience they want to have. So we are seeing a higher lead closure rate, not just because of the mechanism of the lead, but because the quality of the lead is real. It's so much higher.
Now, we were just having a discussion with friends of the show, does Sandy, who does a lot of HR consulting, and she talked about a generation I hadn't heard of before, which is called Generation Alpha.
Okay.
So I was like, me neither. Okay, so I've got millennials, I got Gen Z, and I got Alpha now. So I was like, okay, well, what does that mean as we move towards that more of a digital car and a digital experience? But more importantly, when you look at data over generations, obviously they're not making more baby boomers or more Gen Zs. What does that mean from a data-centric company? But also, what does that mean to the dealer? Like, how are they going to get ahead of that? And how can CDK help them?
Well, I mean, if I were looking at the show and you're sort of walking around the floor just like you've been doing, you'll notice that the dealers are surprisingly getting younger, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so we are still, right. And so it's not so much that that the dealer demographic is pivoting in any one way, but there's a lot of dealers that are just selling out to their children, they're selling out to other groups, but we're seeing a real attitude about like embracing the whole modern part of being retail. And the younger generation that's energizing this whole thing is they're really well equipped to handle these Generation Alpha people. And they're probably more plugged into working with their OEMs than the previous generation, where, you know, you've got a third generation family store. Well, when my grandfather put his name on the side of the building, you know, he knew the OEM guy. They saw them once a year and they ordered their vehicles through a fax machine. Way different now. The relationships are so tight. And I think we're seeing that these great dealers are bringing these energies down into the store level. And we're really, really seeing that whatever the generation is, they're buying great cars. And let's face it, like, we know, you know, the youngest generation right now, they love Uber, right? You know, my kids, I struggled to get them to get their driver's license. They just didn't have a real want or need. The whole notion of having a car and getting a second year, turn 16, getting your driver's license and buying your first car, that's changing. The whole purpose the whole attitude around that vehicle ownership, that first car, it's a little bit different now, especially with the new generation, for sure.
Well, yeah, I mean, I bought a 2023 vehicle recently. My last vehicle was a 2018. And what I noticed was not only the integration of all the different screens, but also the remote experience through an app.
Yes.
From the manufacturer, but also I'm assuming from the dealer and everybody else. But what was really interesting as we looked at electric cars and other cars as, you know, day-to-day lives as our people, is just that transition from, say, a car with gauges to a car with screens.
Right.
To the point where it's almost like a car with a television set. Like, it's not really a car anymore in a traditional sense.
Sure.
But because of that, you're seeing that consumer that historically maybe had a little more loyalty to a brand going, okay, it's not about the brand anymore, it's about the experience. And that starts in the dealership or online, probably online today, but it also moves forward after the fact. And what was really interesting was years ago, I had a Fiat product and they used to mail me service coupons. And I used to go to the dealer and I'd say, can I use this? They go, oh, we don't really know how to even use that coupon. Now I'm getting not only emails from Chrysler, from Stellantis, I'm also getting messages within the app, which are much better, but more importantly, they're much more timely.
Well,
directly to me as the consumer, right?
Well, I mean, when you think about the data that's coming out of the vehicle itself and going over the air when you pull into your home and you're connected to your Wi-Fi signal, you're seeing on your app the oil life, the battery condition, you know, fuel level, mileage, like all that information is going right back to the OEM and the local dealers. So, you know, they can market when it's appropriate. So rather than getting things that have no resonance, it is really perfectly timed to your point and really applicable. And they're hitting the mark a lot better, which is, you know, again, as cars get more and more reliable, they're also, like, dealerships are really trying to make sure they grab all of that customer pay RO that they can, right?
Right. What was surprising to me was that they weren't trying to sell me accessories. To me, I figure that's a big miss.
Well,
like, you didn't buy it with the car. You didn't buy these things. And we got a deal on mats or whatever it is. I thought that was very interesting.
Well, what was really neat is driving, you know, walking by the Ford booth, like you said, or the Toyota booth over there, and it's all about accessories.
Oh, yeah.
And right now, when you think about, you know, we went through that inventory shortage where gross profits, MSRPs were being inflated a little bit, or gross profits were doing really, really well. Well, now there's a little bit more inventory. So how do we capture that gross profit better? And a lot of it is through accessories, service programs, things of that nature. But you know what? Dealers are resourceful. If they can find a way to make it happen, they're going to. And then all of the best practices are going to get spread around like wildfire. And that's a good thing.
Well, you know what's funny? The same way the negative best practices, and there is a term to me, spread because, you know, they go to a 20 group.
Sure.
Yeah, it's like, you get in trouble. Well, they sat at their 20 group 2 years ago.
Okay.
Guys, hey, man, I'm getting like $2,000 over for Corollas now because we don't got any. Oh, really? Go back home, $2,000 over for Corollas.
Yeah.
The good stuff is now finally starting to come back into it because they're starting to think about, wait a minute. Wait. I have a Corolla. I got 45 Corollas.
Yeah.
And they're not lining up for my Corollas. What's wrong?
You know, you said loyalty.
Yep.
That's huge. And online transparency is really opening the marketplace up. People aren't loyal. Every dealership, every OEM have to earn every sale and they have to earn that retention. So anyone who does to try to grab the fast buck is really going to run into trouble down the road. Those people that do it right, market correctly, sell the accessories, provide a top-notch concierge level service and have a great product, they're going to get their customers back. And you know, we 3 years ago, COVID sort of had a whole impact on inventory. Leasing really struggled. And there was no leasing in a lot of OEMs. So now, 3 years later, when those lease returns should be coming back, we're not seeing that really great 2-3-year-old inventory in the market. We're seeing, you know, 5-6-7-year-old cars, which we would never have seen typically on a OEM lot, because those all go to auction or wholesale. And we're starting to see a real interesting mix of vehicles. And, you know, as floor plan expenses, especially with high interest rates today, are going up and up,
yeah,
that used car inventory is just becoming more and more important. But you also have to have that inventory on hand to grab those loyal customers that you built. So it worked so hard to build. Excuse me.
Oh, it's funny. My brother's looking for a minivan for his daughter who just had her first child and probably going to have a second child. So she went to her local Toyota dealer to buy a Toyota Sienna, not to say good or bad, whatever it is. And they said, oh, we don't have any for a year.
A year, yeah.
And I was like, interesting. So it was a different problem. But the funny thing is, if he wants to go buy a Chrysler van or a Kia van, it's a lot sooner to get that vehicle. And more importantly, they're probably similar build quality today than they were 5 years ago.
So it is very difficult to argue against the fact that vehicles are so much better built today. And not only are they being better built, they're more sustainable, better gas mileage, just every element of a vehicle is getting better. I mean, I used to own a European vehicle and it had a once a year oil change. I know. But it was a once a year. But it was a once a year oil change. So if you only get to see me once a year, then you better max that out, right? And so, you know, I really think that every dealer that's got a lot of really great ideas, which is again what this show is all about. It really doesn't matter. Like 3 out of 4 dealers have indicated to us through our research that their number one focus for this year is a better customer experience. So everyone gets it. And the one thing about technology is it's all good. All this technology is beneficial in a lot of ways, but you really have to be good at the human being stuff.
Right.
And if you're not good at the human being stuff, all the best technology in the world is not going to help you.
So you know, it's
really interesting. You talk about human being, talk about dealerships. So one of the two of the big things you see coming into this hall is that the escalators has been fast.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
And out front, there's a shiny chrome Fisker.
Mm-hmm.
I drove one. It's a nice car. It's lots of fun. It's really like every other EV.
Yep.
One neat thing is when you stop to charge, the screen turns and you can watch videos.
Oh, how fun is that?
Everybody does electric cars right now. I need to plug in. They plug in. They have nowhere to go. They sit in the car and it turns sideways to watch video.
Clever. I like it.
Looking for dealers.
Yeah.
Which means as we close this, because we are running out of time.
Sure.
It goes around dealers. It tells you the power of dealers. The other guys are saying, we're going direct. We're going direct.
Well.
It's going direct. And they still have a version called that, which Ian knows very well. But it's all about dealers.
Our customers at CDK are car dealers. They're not the end users of the vehicle. They're not the wholesalers. They are individual dealers and dealer groups, of course, but that's our customer. And so we actually support anything that's going to keep that model moving forward. But we also understand that there's a real market for the delivery piece, and both can coexist. Genesis is proving that out.
Yeah.
And we're seeing dealers that have Genesis being very profitable, having incredible experiences, but also, you know, maybe that when their daughter goes to get a minivan, they're getting a Hyundai. So it all works out.
Thank you so much. Thank you for everything. I really do appreciate it.
Pleasure.
On the show since day one. Thank you. Thank you, Lisa.
Thanks, everybody.
Hey, if you miss us live, you can listen to us wherever you get your podcast.
I'm not sure how to